Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails, your complaints, your stress, your depression over this Bulls team, anything you got for us. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Gonna be pretty quick and short here. We want to make sure that this episode is as many voicemails and as many text messages as we can get to. We've kind of broke this up over the last several weeks, but now we just want to try to fly through as many of these as we can. So everybody who's dropped us a voicemail already or a text message over the last couple of weeks, thank you so much, and continue to do that. But first, before we do that, Matt, how you doing? Happy Friday to you.
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Happy Friday. Looking forward to a weekend. Already a little bit nervous about that Bears-Rams game Sunday night, because, you know, I'm foolishly letting myself believe that maybe their season isn't actually already over. If they could manage to get this win against the Rams, they've got some more winnable games up on the deck. But you know, that's still a couple days away, so I'm gonna try and not stress myself out about it, and looking forward to some voicemails and some irate Bulls fans.
Yeah, the other night when I was working overnight, we probably got 4 dozen calls on Bears quarterback Cam Newton. Need to find a different quarterback. And I guess I anger people overnight, people who are listening in the morning, because I had somebody text in and call me a douche. So that was pretty great. That was pretty funny. They don't like my Bears takes over there. So I guess I'm supposed to just stick to Bulls at this point. But it seems like the Bears fan base is very, very angry at this point.
Honestly, man, it's like it's hard to tell which fan base is angrier right now, Bulls or Bears.
I know everybody's merging over. That and two with the Blackhawks. I mean, this has just been like Ricky O'Donnell wrote that piece a couple weeks ago or last week. About the dumpster fire that Chicago sports is right now. And so if you're a depressed Chicago sports fan like you and I are, that's the perfect article for you.
But hey, you know, at least we've already gotten several, you know, inches of snow and some single digit temperatures in mid-November. So at least we got that
going. Absolutely unbelievable. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. So anybody that's listening in a warm place right now and doesn't have to deal with this, I hate you. I hate you. Unsubscribe from the show right now.
Hey, don't be jealous. I mean, you could be jealous, but don't be mean. I went down to Houston last week to visit my family down there. I got back. It snowed.
Yeah, what was the weather like down there?
It wasn't even that great of weather. It was like one of the afternoons I was there was beautiful. It was like, you know, warm, high 60s. And then there were actually like a couple of days where it was like low 50s, high 40s and raining. But I was still like, well, I'd still prefer that to snow or, you know, temperatures in the single digits and teens. But so I got back from Houston the next day, you know, just dumped on with snow in Chicago. So the following day I booked another flight to go back down there over Christmas, because I was like, dude, I'm so sick of Chicago.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. We didn't even get fall weather. But anyway, let's hit up our text and voicemail line again. 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails. We're going to try to hit as many voicemails as we can. So let's get to our first one. What's first up?
Yo, what's up, Matt? What's up, George? Darian calling here. And today was my day off, so I got kind of bored of shit and began to watch Mark in the highlights. I watched every game that he played this season, the good and the bad. And I'm putting Markkanen on that Trubisky watch, because Markkanen is not a bust, but I feel like he's trending in that direction right now. From what I see, is like his IQ is lacking this season. Like toughness, I don't see that toughness and grit. Like if you got a guy, you know he's not a good offensive player. You know he's gonna try to come post you down. When are you gonna stand up and say, "Hey, I'm not gonna take this shit," like something like that? Marking shies away from that story to me. And my question for you guys is, which one of these things you got see coming first? A, the Bulls trade one of our stars, is Zach Markkanen? B, Jim Boylan?
Our, the voicemail got kind of cut off there, but I think we got the gist of it. So the question first, but pretty good timing on that voicemail. Lowry Markkanen on, yeah, on Mitch Trubisky watch. All, holy shit, man.
Darian, how dare you say that you're starting to be as worried about Markkanen as you are about Mitch Trubisky? I mean, I can see where he's coming from, but I am not reaching that level of panic about Markkanen yet.
Me either. Me
especially
either.
Knowing that he's been playing hurt. He's been playing hurt for the last 2 weeks. And the Bulls were like, oh, yeah, by the way, Markkanen's playing hurt. This team that is just so completely vague and nondescript when it comes to telling us what's going on with their players and their health. So, of course, it was like, oh, no, yeah, he's been playing through a sore oblique or whatever it is for 2 weeks. And I'm not excusing the entirety of his poor performance because of that, but I'm saying, like, Mitch looks awful. And, like, even in his, like, collective
resume. You're trying to say something
resume,
nice about him, and you just can't push it out.
Hey, Mitch threw 3 touchdowns,
oh,
like,
God,
in their
in
win.
The worst defense in the NFL.
Okay, cool. Against the Lions. And one of his touchdowns was just like throwing it to the side to Tariq and was like, hey, Tariq Cohen, go be fast over there. You know, I get that there's a parallel that is easy to draw there. And it's not necessarily entirely wrong to wonder who should, you know, we should be panicked about more as Chicago sports fans, Mitch Trubisky or Lowry Markkanen. But I still think right now Mitch is a bigger concern. I am not ready, like a lot of Bulls fans appear to be, to sell on Markkanen right now. I'm ready to sell on Mitch. I am not ready to sell on Lowry.
You know, the years don't match up perfectly, but the way I think about this is the way that people criticized Yoan Moncada on the White Sox for the first season, where he struggled mightily at the plate on both sides and was terrible in the field. Like, there was glimpses, like Lowry Markkanen has shown us, that the first 2 seasons he's played. The first 3 seasons he's played now. There's glimpses and there's games where he looks amazing. And it reminds me of Moncada. Moncada finally turned the corner this year and looks like the star we thought he was. I think it's just going to take maybe a little bit more time. I wouldn't hit the panic button on a Trubisky comparison just yet. But I think maybe closer to Moncada, we just need to see Markkanen kind of have that breakout consistency. But I don't disagree with what Darian's saying at all about the fact that I don't think he, you know, and this is a common theme throughout all Bulls Nation, he's not aggressive enough. And I don't know if that's coming from the injury or not, but I hate Jim Boylan's explanation of it. He was like, yeah, he's been battling through an injury, but he's been tough. He hasn't been complaining, as if this was like a learning lesson for him to play through pain. And I know you have to at some point, but still, if this is something that's affecting his performance to the point where you're losing games because of it, then that's a huge problem,
yeah.
Right?
And it's a concern if Markkanen is playing through an injury that he shouldn't be because, oh, I can't let my grit and toughness coach think I'm not gritty and tough enough. So that's a concern to me, too. But maybe, so like right now, like there's no way of knowing, I don't think, Bulls fans, just based on the eye test and what we know, details of what he's dealing with, who we know Jim Boylan to be, I think right now it's kind of hard to tell. Is Markkanen a player who is showing himself to be soft? Or is he trying to be tough when he shouldn't be because of the coach the Bulls have right now and how much we all know he values, quote-unquote, toughness? That is a high concern for me right now, and the scary thing is that I don't know which way it leans more. Is it more a problem of Lowry being soft, or is it more a problem of Jim Boylan asking a player to play through an injury that he shouldn't be playing through?
Yeah, and I think you and I have been lighter on the criticism of Markkanen throughout the first 3 seasons, now coming into this year too. And, you know, people have told us that, and I would say maybe I tend to agree a little bit.
Of course.
But if he's playing through an injury, then neither of us are going to slam him for that. But if he's playing fully healthy, like he did when he came back from his elbow injury, we knew he had to knock the rust off. But at some point, we were like, all right, man, it's time to get it going here. And it shouldn't have taken until February for that to happen. But nonetheless, if he is dealing with that injury, you can obviously see why, especially to the side, why he wouldn't be as aggressive around the basket and banging bodies and all of that.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think some of the people who listen and say, "Hey, you guys are a little, you guys give Markkanen a pass too often." I think right now through this season is the first time where I would say he's been, you know, worth criticizing aggressively. Because I'm not giving him a pass just if it's playing hurt. Because even before this injury that he sustained, which was, remember, in the game when he went back to locker room, came back to the bench, and Boylan decided to just stick with Thad down the stretch, but theoretically he was available. That's when this injury happened to his oblique. He wasn't playing all that well before that game either. So it's not just the injury if he is playing hurt. There is something going on with Lowry and his lack of aggressiveness. And not only a shooting slump, but the fact that he's just not demanding the ball and not attacking guys and not looking as dominant as we all thought he could be. So, yes, he deserves criticism for his performance so far this season, without a doubt.
To Darian's second part of his question, before we get to our next voicemail, by the way, mybookie.ag, if you want to place bets, LockedOnNBA is the promo code. It's mybookie.ag. They'll double your first deposit by using that promo code LockedOnNBA. So his hypothetical, which got cut off, but I think this is what he was gearing towards. What's more likely to happen first if either one of these do happen? The Bulls trading one of the three core asset pieces to this team, whether that, I'm assuming it's Markkanen, Levine, or Carter. Maybe even throw Porter in there too, but still, I think he's more of a movable asset than maybe those three guys that we talked about. Or is Jim Boylan being fired more likely to happen? What do you think about this? And I have an interesting take, but I want to hear what you have to say first.
I think it's a very obvious and easy answer. If one of those things is going to happen, it is far more likely that they decide to trade Zach or Lowry. They can't fire Jim Boylan this season. I mean, technically, yes, they can. But everything that we have heard and everything that I have heard is that they are sticking with him for at least the full 19-20 season to give him a shot to see if he can get this team off the ground. They can blame the players. Jim Boylan can and already has blamed the players for their slow start. If John Paxson and Gar Foreman come out there and say, "We're not getting it done, we appreciate Jim, but we're going to go in another direction," they are opening themselves up to the grossly obvious fault of theirs for hiring this guy. It's less of a blatantly obvious fault of theirs if they decide we want to tweak our roster a little bit because there's some chemistry issues with these players playing well together on the court. So that's why we have decided to trade fill in the blank name of player. They can sell that in a way that is not so grossly exposing their incompetence more so than firing Jim Boylan. And that's why, if one of those things is to happen, it's going to be trading a player and not firing Jim.
Yeah, I think if they get any lashback, they're going to get lashback from either of these moves that they do, from either side of the fan base. But I think, like you said, there's an easier spin to when you trade, say, a Markkanen or Levine or Carter, because you could spin it in a different direction. Totally, and say, "Hey, we got assets that we think are valuable to what we're trying to build here." Blah 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 blah. Paul Zipser, who we're really high on, etc. To the other point, like you said, it opens up a lot more criticism about not only firing Fred Hoiberg last year after the first 25 games of the season. You still owe Fred Hoiberg $2.5 million this year. He's getting paid $2.5 million from Nebraska. He was owed a total of $5 million from the Bulls. So they owe him the other half of that salary at 2.5. So you would be paying three head coaches if he got fired at this point in the season. You'd be paying three head coaches to coach this basketball team, and only one would be here. But yeah, there would be definitely more scrutiny, I think, under the idea of Jim Boylan being out at some point in this season and being like, all right, well, what's the plan next? And why the hell did you re-sign this guy over the offseason? Did you just want to double down on what you had said before and think this way is right? I think you're right. I think they can buy themselves a lot more time by trading one of the quote-unquote core assets of this team than they can firing Jim Boylan.
Hey, guys. This is Danny from Anaheim Health. Guys, with a quick question. If this continues, like the play that's going on right now, everybody's playing really bad, Lori, Zach, who would you guys rather trade if it came down to that later on? Zach? Or Laurie, and what do you guys think also about if we do trade Laurie, putting Wendell Carter at the power forward position? It's a tough one just because I feel like there's a lot of guards in this draft, a lot of shooting guards especially, so that could easily be replaced. But also I feel Laurie, Wendell Carter, I feel like he could definitely play the power forward position, and we can definitely get a nice big. If we do trade Laurie, we can revisit maybe how I think it was Jordan, the one that said that Steven Adams would be a good asset for this Bulls team. He's a good veteran, and he's a good center, you know? So, I don't know, maybe even Jerry Allen, somebody like that. And then Wendell Carter at the power forward position. I don't know. What do you guys think? Have a good one, guys.
Danny, thanks for the call. All right. So, Matt, which piece, Lauri Markkanen or Zach LaVine, would you be more comfortable with dealing? And he also brought up Steven Adams, too. I think I talked about that in the summer, which I said, you know, if the Bulls are going to trade for a piece and willing to take on some money, but also upgraded a certain position, Steven Adams would be a great, great fit. But that was assuming that they were also going to take some of that money and go and try to chase one of these other borderline stars this summer, which clearly didn't happen. Regardless, I like Steven Adams. He's on a ton of money, though. But back to the original question, Zach or Lauri, who would you rather trade in if that, who, what kind of value would you get back for either of those guys?
Yeah, and just real quick to clarify with Adams, he's making $25.8 million this season. He's got one more year on his contract in 2021 for $27.5 million, and will be 28 years old as a UFA in the summer of 2021. So I'm thinking because he's still on the south side of 30 and the four-year $100 million deal he got from OKC, that guy is still in line for another huge payday. So will the Bulls be interested in that in 2021? We'll see. But as for the hypothetical about trading, if you had to trade one, Zach or Lauri, it's really hard for me. It is a very hard question to answer. And if you were to ask me this before this season started, before I watched these last 11 games, I would say, if I have to trade one, I'm trading Zach. Because, you know, the defensive issues, he still, to me, is not a super high IQ player. We see him make some just some silly decisions, not just when he gets lost off playing off-ball defense on the defensive end, but some really critical mistakes being the primary ball handler for this team's offense down the stretch for close games. We see it time and time again. I don't like the mistakes that Zach makes because to me it leads me to believe that he is not a very smart basketball player. But now, after what I've seen from Lauri in these 11 games, it is not an easy answer to me to say I'd rather keep Lauri and trade Zach. And again, I'm still saying I'm trying to have patience, and I am not one of the Bulls fans right now who's saying sell on Lauri Markkanen. But I do think that maybe with this caller's interesting idea about moving Wendell to the four, then that makes Lauri expendable. If Lauri is this underwhelming version of him that we've seen, if this is it, if this is the real Lauri and the glimpses were only just a young player who people hadn't really studied his game that much yet, and he doesn't blossom Whether that's a fault of his or a fault of his coaching staff that doesn't get the best out of him, then maybe Lowry is the more affordable piece to trade, because I do believe there is something there to that idea of playing Wendell at the four, because he's even said himself he considers himself more of a power forward than a center, and he's only 6'9", so he's not a true center in the NBA standard.
To me, I was thinking about this a lot too, and it goes back to thinking about more so if the Bulls decided to just keep building with young pieces, if this starts to go in a decline into the negative, where the Bulls are clearly out of any type of competition and they're looking to sell some assets, try to reload for the summer and kind of restructure what this rebuild is going to be. I think you're right. I think Zach is more likely to be traded. I think he has more value than Markkanen does. As far as like teams that are looking to win and continue to compete, those are the teams that are probably going to be looking to add a guy like Zach LaVine, or Lauri Markkanen might be a guy that a winning team is looking to reload with, because they lose somebody this offseason. I have an interesting trade for you. What if you sent Zach LaVine to Golden State plus whatever else for D'Angelo Russell, or you do a straight up? Well, you wouldn't be able to do a straight up because he's making $27.2 million. But you think Golden State might consider something like that? Think about Zach LaVine's contract as well. He'd have two years left on his deal.
He has 2 years left after this year.
Correct. So he'd have two additional years and free up some money too, because the time that his contract comes off the books, so does Steph Curry. So they'd be able to re-sign Steph Curry. But once Curry comes back fully healthy, same thing with Klay Thompson, where do you really stick D'Angelo Russell? I feel like Zach LaVine might be a better fit for that Warriors team. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, somebody who was watching Outsiders Tuesday night after the Knicks game asked us about like an Otto Porter for D'Angelo trade rumor that they've heard. And like, I don't know where this stuff is coming from. I mean, I don't know if you heard like Zach for Russ somewhere specifically. But I mean, look, I think D'Angelo Russell is a really good player. If the Warriors decide that what they were trying to do was maintain their competitiveness, knowing they'd be without Klay Thompson, so they got Russell to pair with Steph in the backcourt, and then that plan went out the window when, you know, not only did they find out it sounds like Klay might miss the full year, but now Steph's hurt and they're kind of tanking, that maybe they don't need him and are trying to shift him. And because of the already in place backcourt of Steph and Klay, that they don't really need D'Angelo Russell when the Warriors come back supposedly healthy next season. I understand the logic to that. Does D'Angelo Russell fit with this Bulls core better than Zach LaVine does? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. It's not an obvious yes of a trade to me if I'm the Bulls front office. And it's, you know, it's certainly a difference, right, in as far as like Zach LaVine has one of the team friendliest contracts in the league right now, I think. Despite his flaws on the defensive end, the production he gives you offensively, he is a
bargain.
I guess it just goes back
to what's your mentality and as far as timeline goes for this rebuild, that would kind of dictate who you're willing to trade and what you're willing to get back for them too. Like if you're dealing Markkanen, I assume one of two things is happening. You're either getting a star back from a team that just is clearly out of it. They're ready to kind of hit the reset button or kind of rebuild on the fly, and they need to get off some money. That would be in a package for something. That would be one option. Otherwise, the Bulls are moving him to get future draft picks to maybe be able to stay in this lottery. If they do continue to make a push, or if they fall out, maybe have two lottery picks, which is supposed to be a point guard heavy draft in 2020. So those are the two options they could go by trading Markkanen. For LaVine, I feel like it would be more of a straight up here's a guy in a little bit better of a deal. We want your guy back for the long term, and someone with a little bit less age to like a D'Angelo Russell. So that's an interesting question, though. I feel like this fan base would probably be somewhat split, right? I don't think it would be like a 90-10 type of thing for LaVine being traded first. I could see it more like 60-40. But I feel like the fan base as a whole maybe would lean towards trading Zach LaVine as opposed to Lowry.
Yeah, I probably would. would say the same. Although, you know, I think the most alarming thing to me is that through 11 games, there are people calling for both of them to be traded.
Yeah,
lots of people on Bulls Twitter are like, dude, trade Zach and Lowry. I'm done with both of these guys.
And it's crazy.
You know, even me, who's like, man, this has been rough. I'm like, guys, 11 games and you're ready to say, fucking just sell this team and start over? Come on.
Yeah, let's relax. Carter, Markkanen, Porter, LaVine, and Zadaransky at this point. Well, really, those four guys haven't all played together more than, what, 20 games? So give it a little bit more time, and with still a lot of season left, too, to be played. But thanks for the call. That was an interesting hypothetical. Let's take the next voicemail.
Hey, dudes. This is Jim from the 815 again. I was the crazy son of a bitch who was talking about Boylan being actually good. I'm out of my mind from saying that. I think it's about damn time to fire that, make him hit the bricks. But anywho, I think it would be hilarious if in an alternate universe you could hear Vince McMahon tell him, "You're fired." But anyway, I was thinking at some point if he got fired, who the hell would take over? And I don't know if this is a crazy thing to say, but what about Doug Collins? I want to know what you guys think about that. I don't know if he could lead millennials or what, but that's what I want to know. Thanks a lot. Peace.
All right. Thanks for the voicemail. That's hilarious. Jim called us last week, Matt, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and we spent probably 15 minutes on, like, I don't know what he is talking about. But clearly over the last couple of games, minus the Knicks game and minus the Bucks game, Jim had seen enough of the other Jim and Jim Boylan. Doug Collins, no. Maybe Chris Collins, then maybe there's actually a conversation there, because I could see that happening, especially if Garpax is still around and Doug Collins is up in the front office. But no, Doug Collins, the last time he tried to coach with the 76ers was trying. His problem was, the reason why he got fired was because he couldn't connect to millennials. So he's probably the last person that I would want to be hired as the full-time head coach to take over a young rebuilding team like this one. That's like average age of what, like 22 or 23?
Yeah. Second youngest team in the league this season. I mean, Doug Collins already serves on this team. He's a special advisor to John Paxson.
AKA an assistant coach. There's three assistant coaches in the front office, too.
Right. Yeah. And look, I think that maybe Doug Collins is secretly the guy who Bulls fans can thank for, in my opinion, what were some smart signings like Thad Young and Zadaransky. I think Doug Collins has gotten Paxson and Gar to open their eyes and ears a little bit more, but it's still just the same. It's more of the same. At least Doug Collins left the organization for a while and was able to maybe in his own way bring somewhat of a fresh look, a fresh set of eyes to see what the hell this team is trying to do. But you cannot hire Doug Collins to be this team's coach. And again, I think it's a moot point, because at least through this season, Boylan's not going anywhere. Like, unless there's an actual riot at the Advocate Center, Boylan's not going anywhere.
Time clock's still going to stay there. It'll be there for all 82 games. He's not going anywhere. If he did somehow get fired this season,
I'm going to hit him upside the head with a time clock.
He would have taken all those punch-out cards with him, too, if he ever got fired. But Chris Fleming would probably step in, right, as interim head coach, which I wouldn't mind seeing what happens there, too. But other than that, run a fucking coaching search. If you're gonna fire Jim Boylan at the end, sometime during this season, you're gonna do an interim thing. Do it right this time, because you haven't done it in a decade. Run a fucking coaching search, please. But like you said, until there's a riot or something catastrophic happens to this team, Boylan is going to remain the head coach. Thanks for the call, though. Let's get to the last voicemail here. Let's do this 630. We haven't talked about Chris Dunn, but this brings up Chris Dunn a lot. So I think that's a good one to end the episode with.
Yo, Jordan, Matt, this is Kevin here from New York. And I just wanted to kind of bring up, I don't know if it's a side note or whatever, but I just really wanted to share that amidst all of this kind of back and forth we're experiencing, I'm just really happy for Chris Dunn right now. And I just really wanted to share that because I feel like he's really found his place. And I'm just happy. I've always kind of liked Chris. I've always kind of felt bad for him when stuff wasn't really going well, like when he got injured and stuff. And if you remember going into this season, all of the drama behind him and Coby White and who's going to be competing for the spot, and, you know, they share the same agent. And the fact that the way that he answered that was to kind of take Coby under his wing, I just think was extremely smart. And I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was coaching or maybe it was his agent. I don't know. But I just think that them working together is just genius, and I'm just so happy for him. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I also want to add a little question for you. Just what does this do to his value? Because that's something we were talking about too. I know it's still early, but if this continues like this, what does that do to his value? Is that something where the Bulls might want to keep him? I doubt that, but I strongly doubt that. But, you know, just curious what you guys think and kind of how much this affects his value going into the future. So thanks for all the work you guys do. And yeah, talk to you soon.
Yeah, this is a good voicemail to end the episode with. Thanks for giving us a call, Kevin. Talking about Chris Dunn, you know, he's gotten praise from pretty much everybody. You know, the only, when I'm cutting pre and post game tape for the score, all I hear whenever Chris Dunn's name's been brought up this season and even before this season, was high praise from Chris Dunn, for Chris Dunn, and being, you know, Boylan's big thing and big emphasis for this team is role acceptance. And Boylan even said after that Knicks game how much he appreciates what Chris Dunn has done, and it's turned a page, and it seems like Chris Dunn has a lot of confidence in the role that he's playing now. And it basically broke down to Boylan said all he wants to do really is just win. He doesn't care. He wants to contribute, but he just wants to win. So I agree wholeheartedly with what Kevin is saying. You know, and I think it's a lesson that Chris Dunn learned last year too, from seeing what happened to Jabari Parker. When you take the opposite route of this and you try to fight what they're telling you or what's going to happen, good things don't happen that way. And, you know, we didn't talk about it much, but Denzel Valentine, what's happened with him this season too, that's kind of gone the south route as well. So I think he tried to take the other way from what Jabari and other people have pushed back at Boylan and some of the other things and frustrations. He's taken a different route, and I think it's benefited him a ton this season.
Yeah, and I mean, let me just say that I, as much if not more so than anyone, was guilty this offseason of ragging Chris Dunn and the organization's handling of him. And some of that is still 100% deserved. The way that they just completely left Chris Dunn out of this organization from a PR standpoint, moving towards, you know, from the end of last season into the offseason, through the draft, through free agency, into offseason workout. Like, I mean, they were throwing him under the bus in every direction. You can't deny that. And so, yeah, I had some fun at their expense and Dunn's expense. And then coming in to media day and all the hype around that, I had some more fun at their expense because, to me, it seemed like a so obvious, not at all subtle attempt to begin the quest to raise Chris Dunn's trade value. Because we know that they shopped this guy in the offseason. We know that. And they got no takers. And so all of that can be true, but there can also be some truth to what they told us about Dunn and Media Day being real, as far as what they saw from him and his work ethic and the way he refocused himself and bought into his role on this team, knowing that there's a lot of excitement about this new young guard, Coby White, knowing that they went out and targeted and acquired Tomas Satoransky to likely win the starting job to play alongside Zach and Lowry in that first unit, and that he was going to be tasked to be a defense-first player to set the tone defensively for a second unit that still had a long way to go, and that he accepted and embraced that role, and so far this season is doing it admirably.
You know, Jason Papp brought up a good point on Twitter real quick on Chris Dunn, and just saying that now that the pressure of him supposedly having to be the quote-unquote point guard of the future is kind of off of him, it seems like he's a lot more relaxed and in a position to be able to succeed and have a little bit more confidence.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, Coby and Chris kind of playing pretty well together so far in that second unit. and Coby White being able to be a dynamic scorer and Chris Dunn being the elite defender, and the fact that they're, you know, complementing themselves fairly well, I think that the pressure is off Chris Dunn. I think he knows at this point he's not this team's point guard of the future. So, and like, I still get frustrated with Chris on the offensive end. He still isn't really a useful piece to play off the ball because he, I mean, his three-point shooting was bad coming into this season. This season it's fallen off a cliff. It's not like he's taking a high volume of them, but, you know, he can't threaten the opponent's defense at all behind the three-point line. And he still, to me, has head-scratching moments when he is the one leading the break or just, like, you know, he still struggles to finish at the rim, all these various things. So for what he is, a guy that's getting you two and a half, even three steals a game to create some extra opportunities and transition offense for your team and setting the tone defensively for the rest of the other four guys out there, he has played that role admirably, and he deserves credit. And I guess the Bulls deserve a little bit of not credit, but like maybe they weren't completely bullshitting us and bullshitting everyone in the name of raising trade value when they spoke so highly of Dunn and Media Day. Because clearly he's bought into his role. So at the very least, he deserves credit for that.
Yeah, and I also continue to keep this on my mind is all of this hype, while I feel like it is very, very real, there's also an element to trade deadline still, what, 3 months away? There's still plenty of time to continue to increase his trade value from what it was in the summer at zero. And they've done it once before with a player, right? In Nico Mirotic. They went from trade value was zip, zero in an offseason. And then it took a Nico miracle of him going on a streak for like 6 weeks of unbelievable scoring to get a first round pick out of that. But still, they've done it once in the past before, so I won't put that out of my mind. But no matter where Chris Dunn goes, if he is still part of this team throughout this season and beyond that, I'm very happy for him too. And I felt the same way Kevin did. And I said it all summer long. I felt like I was the only one willing to back Chris Dunn outside of a handful of people on Twitter. I felt like everybody was ready to just sign him off and say, nah, he's garbage. I'm done. And so now Dunn Island has been getting very, very crowded. So we'll see if people stick around or if this is just a vacation. But it's getting very crowded very, very quickly. So I'm willing to let people back in on Dunn Island too. I'm willing to accept that. But Chris Dunn just looks like he's in a lot better mood now lately. And maybe that does come from being able to kind of mentor a young player in like Coby White.
And, you know, I can't come back on to Chris Dunn Island because I was too mean to him, I think. I mean, like, but if you remember, I was really high on Dunn coming into last season. I was like, I still believe in Chris Dunn. And then the weird injuries, couldn't stay healthy, couldn't stay on the floor. When he was on the floor, he didn't look all that great. And I sold all of my stock and was like, I'm over this guy. So I'm happy for him that he seems to have found a role. And I always thought he could be a useful backup guard on a good team who was primarily a, you know, defensive tone setter and still, you know, struggled to be super useful on the offensive end. But I never really saw him as a piece that fit for this Bulls team and this rebuild. So I won't pretend that I deserve to come back to Chris Dunn Island because I had too much fun, you know, splashing in the waters way far away from it.
Hey, don't worry, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone on that. And I think it's the
I'm not a flipper. I'm not trying to get away with all that bullshit flipping like my pal C Red Fred does.
And you know what? It's weird to think about too, and I don't think people should get as much criticism for criticizing Chris Dunn because we thought about it in a different light in the first 2 years than I think we should think about it now. Everybody was trying to compare it to, like, did we get the real true value back for Jimmy Butler, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they always compared it to what kind of value is he going to live up to when we traded our star here. I feel like that, to me, has kind of washed away for the most part, and now we're just really considering, all right, this dude's here. He's going to be a part of this team or not, regardless of how it makes the trade look or not. This is the way it needs to be, whether it is his ceiling is being a productive player coming off the bench or if he can eventually build himself into a starter. I think we're starting to slowly see, I feel like I'm starting to slowly see the fan base shift the way that they think about Chris Dunn overall and what value he has on this team, which is a good thing. So good for Chris Dunn, and I do feel bad for him, man. We think about all the injuries, and I don't have to rehash all of that, but all the weird things that has happened to him on the first two seasons that he's been a Bull has been just very, very bizarre and untimely, to say the least. But yeah, good for Chris Dunn. I hope he continues up for the rest of this season.
Absolutely, man. You know, don't have no ill will towards Dunn, and I do still think there's a possibility that if he continues to play this well, that he will have some value as we near that trade deadline. And depending on what this Bulls team's record is and what their goal for the back end of the season is, will determine whether or not he stays to finish out the season, or the Bulls decide to move on.
Real quick before we get out of here, Matt, are you gonna? I think I'm gonna have to catch a Windy City Bulls game at this point, because we saw earlier this week that Denver, without a G League team, by the way, has sent Bull Bull an assignment to the Windy City Bulls. He's not part of the Bulls. The Bulls did not sign him. They cannot bring him up in replacement for Cristiano Felicio. But nonetheless, he will be in Hoffman Estates until further notice. So I may have to go actually out and go catch a Windy City Bulls game and watch Bull Bull.
Absolutely. And if not only for that reason, also the incomparable Mark Schanowski is now calling Windy City Bulls.
Yes, 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 yes.
And, you know, I and my fellow, you know, crew at NBC, the Outsiders, Kendall, and, you know, and Will, everybody's been really thrilled with Jason Goff joining the team so far. He's great to have around. He's doing a great job so far. But I missed terribly talking hoops and listening to Mark Schanowski talk about hoops. So that is an awesome addition, and you can catch all of Windy City Bulls home games on NBC Sports Chicago or NBC Sports Chicago Plus this season. So between that and Bull Bull, I mean, how do you not watch the Windy City?
Exactly. The guy that actually is partnered with Mark Schanowski works over at The Score too, Julio Roseo. He's the play-by-play guy for the Windy City Bulls. So,
right. Yes.
Shout out to all of those guys. And yeah, Mark, Jason's done an amazing job. You guys, the coverage for the Bulls is nonstop over at NBC Sports. And if you're a Bulls fan, we are spoiled with the amount of coverage that's over there. And you guys are doing a fantastic job all the way from pregame, all the way through Bulls Outsiders. I mean, literally, when there's a Bulls game on, you guys, we've 6 hours of content, basically. So you can sit your ass on the couch and watch it. That is fantastic. Bull, I just wanted to make that note, because I've been getting a ton of tweets, too, of like, should the Bulls bring up Bull? It's like, no, he's not on the team. There's a handful of teams in the NBA that don't have a G League team.
Not a thing that can happen, sadly.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. It seems like it happens every time we play voicemails. We only get through a handful of them. But I promise you, anybody who's dropped us a voicemail over the last week or so, we're going to try to get to those, as well as all of your new ones. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. We accept texts as well. We try to get to as many of those questions. And even if you just have a comment about the Bulls, you know, we like to get the feel for Bulls Nation and what's going on. So whether you're watching the game and you've got a comment, or you need to just unleash some anger or some positivity, whatever it is, hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. On Instagram as well, at Locked On Bulls. Make sure you're subscribed to our show so you get our episodes as soon as we drop them. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, anywhere, literally anywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe so our episodes are in your feed as soon as they drop. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. You have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.